Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
Wild with delirious joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed, I'm your host, the one, the only Mark Unger. Joining me as always, the ever lovely and charming Diane Briley. Look like Snoop Dogg. with all that bling on. And of course, the amazing Philip James Gunger. Look at him. He's all styled out today, man. That boy.
Looking good.
Looking good.
Ooh, and we're periscoping again.
Oh, no.
Oops.
Behave ourselves.
Have you been doing that all along? Or did you just start?
I think maybe I'm just selfieing myself.
Maybe. Selfieing yourself.
There's a man who's in love with himself.
Wait, we're against that, aren't we?
Engineering the show is always the very talented.
Yes, we are.
But eerily creepy, Timothy Robert Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during the production of this incomprehensibly, immeasurably boring show. This is a show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at askask@markgungor.com. What do you got there, sunshine?
Okay, we're still working our way through the
Ain't
best
no
marriage
sunshine
advice
where
ever.
She's gone.
I know.
Yep. All right, Snoop Dogg, what do you got?
The best marriage advice ever. The next one says, remember that marriage isn't 50-50. Divorce is 50-50. Marriage has to be 100-100. It's not splitting everything in half, but both parties giving everything they've got.
That's really great. Mm-hmm. Marriage isn't 50-50. Divorce. Divorce is 50-50. It's when you're slicing everything in half. Yep. Unless marriage, to do it right, is everybody's got to give 100%.
That's
bring
good.
All the energy that you got. And some people, and this is going to sound kind of weird, some people actually have more energy than the other. And that's fine. You know, some people
and some people care more about giving more to it.
Yeah.
They do.
I know. I get that. So rather than getting mad at what everybody else is doing, just do your best. Do what you do. So the truth of the matter, I write about it in my Laugh Your Way book. It's something I stole from John Gray. He has this analogy. When it comes to relationships, women are like gardeners. Mm-hmm. So it's the woman who tends to put so much energy into it because she likes to constantly tend the garden and, you know, weed stuff and add fertilizer and keep watering, make sure it gets enough sunshine, not too much sunshine. But when it comes to relationships, men are like firemen. And firemen don't really do a whole lot unless there's a fire. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what gets them going. So, and it is what it is. Just do what you do. The problem with men is some of them are really incomprehensively stupid firemen. Normally, a fireman, if you so much as smell smoke, mm-hmm. you act. That's what a good fireman. Yeah. And a fireman's looking for stuff that might cause a fire.
This is true.
Okay. But we got a lot of dumb firemen today in the male culture, using the analogy. They only jump into action when their wife is ready to file for divorce or when she has filed for divorce.
And then the house
and
is burned down to the
flames,
ground.
And now they're so motivated. It's like, dude, where have you been?
Maybe they don't do anything because they think that she's going to do it.
Because she always does.
She does everything.
Might be, but not a good plan.
Well, and see if I can explain this. I don't know if I'll have the right words. I'll try.
Can you speak English? Habla inglés.
For a lot of women, their 100% looks different than a man's 100%. So I think that they can get very frustrated. Like, he's not giving everything just because it looks different. Or maybe it's a different...
Because they want him
to give what they're giving. Yes.
Well, that is the main problem in all relationships, is people are trying to get other people to be like them. It's always like that.
It's she might yell at him and say, you're not giving 100%, but it might very well be his 100%, but it just doesn't fit her picture in her box.
I would agree with that. I would agree. But there again, someone who's constantly measuring. Mm-hmm. What I would say, even the 50-50, 100-100 is still a bad analogy. Quit analyzing and preparing who's doing what, and just everybody do your best mm-hmm. to make the marriage work. Mm-hmm. Anyway, all right.
Okay, the next one says, give your best to each other, not your leftovers after you've given your best to everyone else.
Okay. Good in theory.
Well, you know.
Well, the problem with that, I mean, again, it's very idealistic.
It is.
Is if you have been working all day long and you're really hammering it, mm-hmm. and you come home, you're tired.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say you're really hammered.
You're really hammered.
No, you come home and then you get hammered.
What job you have?
Depends on what job you have, Phil.
I've been drinking all day at work.
You go home, you come home and you're just really hammered because you stopped by the saloon on the way home.
Well, you might not have a lot to give at the end of the
day. Yeah, I know. So I get what they're trying to say. Here's my problem with some of this marriage stuff, including a lot of these marriage seminars and stuff. Some of them actually discourage people more than they help mm-hmm. because they create such these idealistic standards that people think, oh, I can't live by that. And they just get more frustrated. Mm-hmm. It's like the thing that irritates me, you know, these people now who talk about, you know, Christian, you know, marriages, the spiritual intimacy, you know, as if emotional and physical intimacy are so easy. Let's come up with something else people fail at.
It's discouraging.
So you come up with all this stuff, and it's not helpful. Just relax. Give your best to each other. I get that. But even that, be realistic, you know?
Well, because when you have four little kids at home, as a mom, you've given a lot of what you have.
Completely fried.
There might not be left. You know, same as a husband out in the workforce, or opposite if the dad's a stay-at-home dad. Whatever. You get what I'm saying.
Yeah, but here's the thing. When a woman does that and she's absolutely fried at the end of the day, she has given her best to him mm-hmm. by taking care of his children.
Yes.
And when a man is out there busting
his hump,
he's working hard and he comes home exhausted, he has given the best by providing for his family. So that's,
they understand that about themselves, but why can't they understand that about the other person?
Well, stuff like this doesn't help. Give your best to each other, not your leftovers after you're giving your best to everyone else. Hey, sometimes I give my best to everyone else so that I can have something for my family. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
True.
All right.
True.
It's true.
All right,
what else you got?
Learn from other people, but don't feel the need to compare your life or your marriage to anyone else's. God's plan for your life is masterfully unique.
Yeah, don't feel like you need to compare your life or marriage to anyone else's.
But then do all these other
which
things.
Which means ignore advice from number 10. Ignore a lot of this advice.
Yes.
Because that's exactly what people do, and it's exactly what we just said. So that is good advice. Don't get all crazy and stuff. Anyway, that's enough of this.
Yep.
But this is going to take forever to go through this. But
that's all right.
It's fun. It's all right. It's cool.
It works.
There's 25 advice points, and we're up to number 11.
Yeah, not quite halfway.
So we're really rocking. All right. We will take a break and be back with your emails right after this.
Download your free Mark Gunger app today to see all of the latest from the world of Mark Gunger.
Mark Gunger here, encouraging you. I want to talk to all the people who are have kids, who are getting ready to graduate from school, or you're getting ready to graduate from school, maybe in a year or two or whatever it is, from high school and then getting ready for college. Let me encourage you, slow down a bit. Don't just go rushing off into the crazy, because once you start, you never stop, man. Once you hit the college and getting that and coming out and getting your degree, you know, your degrees and getting your career started, and maybe by then you're already married and you got kids and everything, then at some point we say, you know, man, have you ever really gone anywhere and done anything, you know, really significant for God in your life? And the answer is, well, you know, I go to church. I went on a missions trip, which is like 10 days, which is more of a vacation to me. Not much of a missions trip. Slow down. Take 1 year of your life. Put God first. It'll build character and it'll change you forever. Anyone who's ever done any kind of extended missions opportunity knows it changed. Even the 10-day thing can change some people. But you do something significant. In our program, it's 6 months. You take the 1 year transition when instead of your first year in college, you come and we work with you. We show it's not a Bible college, but we do show you how to succeed spiritually, how to succeed financially, how to succeed relationally, building character in you for the decisions you're about to make in your life. And then 3 months of the program end where you are in some missions program overseas or, you know, South America or someplace where we've got some wonderful people. They're safe places. We're not going to send you off to someplace that's, you know, middle of Iraq or something, but where you can plug in and really serve and see what it's like, what people live like in the other parts of the world. Get a chance to really live out your faith and help people and realize there's something bigger than you. Take that energy, that passion. And a lot of these kids, they come out and say, they don't even know what they want to do anyway. Spinning their wheels and stuff like that. Get a chance to get centered. Put God first. Even if you do not know what you want to do, I don't care. You should still put God first in your life. Take a year, slow down, get some priorities. You parents need to start teaching this into your kids so that the most important life thing in life is not money, okay? There's things way more important than that. So check it out, transitionone.org.
Win all the time. I didn't know, but it was.
We're back on the Mark Unger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships, answering your emails. What do you got?
Okay, she has two questions. The first question says, I am having some trust issues with my husband. How can I get over it? I had caught him flirting with a couple of women on Facebook. Now I can't help but be suspicious of whatever he does. How can I learn to trust him again? I pray about it every day, but I just hate getting the thoughts of jealousy and all sorts of images in my head.
What do you think she means by that? I always struggle with people who talk about this whole trust thing. What do they think that means to them? How can I trust?
How can I know that he won't do this again? I'm certain that that's what they want to know.
You never know. I think you need to be vigilant. Mm-hmm. What she wants to do is not have to do anything.
And beyond that, not how can I know, how can I make him not to do this again?
It would be like a parent, you have children, and you monitor your children, mm-hmm. and they get tired of monitoring their children. How can I get to the point where I never have to monitor my children, mm-hmm. and I can just trust them to always get up and do the right thing? Mm-hmm. Well, most people would laugh at you. Well, yes. No, that's that's parenting.
You monitor.
There are people in their marriage relationships that live in an unrealistic thing where they think, mm-hmm. I just live in trust, which means I don't have to monitor anything. I think you should monitor mm-hmm. what each other do. Mm-hmm. And jealousy is not a bad thing. There's a good form of jealousy because God says he's jealous. Mm-hmm. And the kind of biblical jealousy means intolerant of unfaithfulness. Mm-hmm. You are a woman who should be intolerant of unfaithfulness. She's upset because, I caught him and I'm intolerant of unfaithfulness. How do I get where I don't feel that way anymore? You should always feel that way. And you should always keep one eye open. You know how many people end up in affairs? You know how many marriages are destroyed because of this nonsense? And you want to get to a fantasy fairyland world where you don't have to do that and you think that's the ideal and that's what God wants for you and that's what really trust is? No. Your version of trust that you had in the first place was laziness or unrealistic expectations that I shouldn't have to worry about stuff. You should all worry about this. Everybody, every single person should have one eye open and always check in. Who's floating around in my world and in your spouse's world? And you see something that's uncomfortable, you say something straight up. So I think what you're asking for is is not what you should be asking for. You should feel jealous in a godly sense of way. In other words, intolerant of unfaithfulness. And if that means you're checking on your husband, seeing what he's doing, yeah, suck it up, buttercup. That's what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Just like with your children. Not that your husband's your child. Don't treat him disrespectfully as your child, but you need to be vigilant. People need to be vigilant in their lives. The Bible talks about it. I don't know if she's a Christian woman, but you know.
She says she's praying, so I'm assuming
okay, so,
she is.
You know, we're supposed to be vigilant in all areas of our mm-hmm. life because the devil goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And one of the people he would love to devour is your goofy husband. You be vigilant. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of these people who whine about, I want to get where I can trust again, are people, they just don't want to be vigilant. Mm-hmm. She wants to be able to just not have to think about it, not worry about it, and she's delusional. So quit thinking that way. What you're doing right now is what you're supposed to be doing. Staying vigilant, keeping an eye open, and being jealous. No, I'm intolerant of unfaithfulness, and it's a godly trait.
She wants to know how to get the images out of her head, so she must be thinking specifically
about
these.
Look at pictures of me.
But you don't want to be the psycho jealous where you're, imagining, he's with her, he's this. You don't want to do that.
I think she's just hypersensitive. She doesn't like the fact that she has to be vigilant. Mm-hmm. And her version, how do I get this? What she wants to do is pretend like it never happened. Mm-hmm. I want to get to where it never happened, and I don't
and
have to think about
happen.
It. And it's never, ever going to happen mm-hmm. again. And I just want to get back to doing my life where I just got up every day and I did what I did and I didn't have to worry about anything. Well, yeah, you know what I like to do is get up every day and not have to do anything and make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I'd like to make a great living without having to do anything. I just think she's unrealistic. That's my personal take on that. When I hear stuff, I always say, what are they talking about? Of course, you should be vigilant. They say, well, that means I'm not trusting. No. Their version of trust, see, people have destroyed the English language. Their version of trust is nonsense. That's not trust. You're just being a goofball. Pay attention to your marriage. Everybody should pay attention to your marriage. Some guy hangs around my wife too much and laughing and coming over and some minute. The alarms go off in my head. And I bring it up, and she taps it down very quickly. That's the way it is. Intolerant of unfaithfulness.
Here's an analogy that popped into my head as you were
speaking. What popped into your head? Another picture of me.
Okay. I have had cancer. Uh-huh. I trust that I will not get that again, but I am vigilant to make sure that I'm going to the doctor, and I don't sit and worry and play through my mind, oh my gosh, what I had, and this is what I went through before, and oh my gosh, if this happens again, I don't go there, but yet I am very careful to monitor and do what I need to do to be on the lookout for it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
There.
You know what? I truly believe this. The greatest problem in marriages in America today, and maybe all over the world because of movies and everything, is unrealistic expectations. That is what makes people so miserable. They expect their marriages to be something that God never intended it to be. And they're just delusional. And the more you hold to the delusion, the more frustrated you are. And it wouldn't surprise me if the majority of people who actually write us are people who hold disproportionate delusions in their lives. And it was right. I think a lot of people that come to my conferences are a little delusional. Mm-hmm. You know, when people come to my conference, you know, they're always, man, you're so down to earth. Oh, you just brought us down to earth. Why? Because they're living in this nonsense. And I know it sounds critical of all the other people out there who are doing what I'm trying to do, and I don't mean it in a bad way, but I think a lot of these seminars and marriage ministries are actually, some of them are do more harm than good, because they keep creating this idealistic, delusional world that people buy into, and they're constantly listening to these people, and here's a lady, her vision, her ideal is delusional. I should be able to live in a world where I never have to think about anything and never have to worry about it, and I never have to really be vigilant, and I should never have feelings of, gee, I don't want someone to be unfaithful to me. I think she's just wrong. I think what she's doing is right. Now, if you're walking around constantly having visions of your husband on Facebook, you need to relax.
Tell him to periscope his life.
Then she'll always know.
Honestly, just stay vigilant. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with more emails right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows. What will it be?
Judgment or mercy? Why don't you let it be? We're back on the Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships, answering your emails. What else do you
got? Okay, she had another question for you, the last lady. She said, also, another problem I have with my husband is that he always talks to me like he is mad, even if I just ask him a question or suggest something.
How dare you ask me that question?
Answering me in angry ways. I don't want
you need to do it in German.
She says, I don't want to talk.
Ich liebe dich! It means I love you. But if you yell it in German, it doesn't sound good.
She says, I don't want to talk to him anymore, most times for fear that he will yell at me and say something bad to me. Sometimes when I make the slightest suggestion about something or ask about something, he always, always takes it negatively and accuses me of being negative all the time. Am I just being unrealistic with certain situations? I've been married to my husband for 32 years. Mm-hmm. She says, is it coming to a point where he is just sick and tired of me already? Maybe.
32 years, I don't know. It sounds to me like you have a pretty good guy who's be with you for 32 years. You know what she sounds like to me? We encourage people to do this program online called The Flag Page. If you haven't done this yet, and I know most of you who listen to the show haven't done it because we've surveyed our audience, go to flagpage.com, all right? FLAGPAGE, flagpage.com. And you and your spouse take the test. You don't do it together. You do it separately. In fact, you should not even be talking to each other when you're doing it. By the way, you know how many women try to watch over their husband's shoulders when they do it?
Well, apparently a lot, because you mention it.
Little control freaks. No, don't do that. Don't push that. That's not you. Seriously, ladies, leave him alone. If you don't think it's him, it's because you're not paying attention. It's amazing how many women see their husbands and totally disagree with their output, their printout, mm-hmm. which only means that's how disconnected she is from who she actually married. Mm-hmm. Anyway, do the flagpage.com. One of the things this thing does is there's several different elements to it. But it starts out discussing people's temperaments. And lots of programs do this temperament. They use fancy words like phlegmatic and sanguine and stuff. You know, we just use English. We figure Greek should be left for the Greeks. Mm-hmm. Or others use animals, chickens, frogs, lizards, or colors, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty consistent. A lot of programs do that. Ours, I think, is obviously better because that's why it's ours. But it gives you a lot.
The words describe it.
The words describe it. And a lot of these programs, what they do is they just, you take it and they put you in the one category. Mm-hmm. Ours actually shows you that there's a little bit of all of these in you, mm-hmm. all right? But there is a predominant category that people end up in, either a fun person or a perfect detailed nature person or a control person who actually does like to control everything. And then they got peace people. And peace people just, we talked about it not too long ago, mm-hmm. about peace people. They're sweet people, but they're so opposed to any kind of conflict. She sounds like a real peace lady to me. You know, her peace is all disturbed because she actually has to monitor her marriage now, you know, after however many years. You know, she thinks that that's wrong. How do I get to a place of trust? What she's saying is, I don't get to a place of peace where I don't have to do anything, which I think is not idealistic. And here again, my husband is always yelling at me and angry at me. Now, he could be, we don't know you, mm-hmm. sweetheart, but it wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't always yell. Here's the thing with really strong peace people. All you got to do is start raising your voice a little bit or come with a little bit of tension, and they, mm-hmm. you're yelling at me. I'm not mm-hmm. yelling at you. I yell, actually.
You do yell.
I yell at everybody.
Stop yelling at me.
Stop yelling. Quiet. What are you talking about, woman? So, there's people who are just this way, and they can't handle any mm-hmm. kind of tension. And it just disturbs them so deeply. And it just sounds like...
And he could be high hard score, where he's just bullet points, really blunt, and that would be... If she was real high soft, that would be offensive.
Yeah, but as I talked about peace people last time, peace people, the trap they fall into is they think they can have peace without conflict. He's always mad at me and upset at me, and how do I have to check on him? And I don't know. She just wants to get to her little peacey world where everything's just calm and she says nothing has to happen. The problem is people who live like this end up with no peace, which is what I was telling you last time. That's their irony. It's good to be a peace maker, all right? But just not a peacekeeper. Peacekeepers do everything so that they avoid any kind of conflict. You want peace in your life, you're going to have to get comfortable with conflict. Get comfortable with engaging him. And, you know, if he is, in fact, yelling at you, look, hey, stop yelling at me. You know, don't be so freaked out. These people are just, and again, the irony is, I'm sure this lady, what she wants more than anything, based on her two questions, she wants peace. Mm-hmm. Sweetheart, go take that test. Go take that. Flagpage.com. Bet you $100 you come back as a big peace lady. And again, it's a good thing to be. I'm not slamming that. Everybody mm-hmm. is who they are. This is who God made you to be. But don't run from conflict. They think that's your enemy. The truth is you have to have conflicts in order to get to peace. Mm-hmm. And if you just want to run away from him because he gets upset or you have to do this or that and the other, you will end up where you're at right now, which is in a state of discontent and no peace. So she needs
some people think I yell all the time.
You do?
No. There's a difference between my just normal intensity, because I'm just intense, and when I yell. You know when I'm yelling.
She goes crazy.
But there are people. But there are people that think that you're yelling. I'm like, I'm not. I'm just talking.
But you know who thinks that? Generally, peace people.
Yeah.
They don't like any kind of tension at
all.
Like,
you can't raise your voice, and I'm just... I'm just intense.
Now, peace people like my seminar, and they like me, and they tolerate because I'm really confrontational.
Yep.
But I do it in a funny way.
Yes.
So I get everybody laughing. So if people weren't laughing, peace people would be in a state of heart attack in my seminars. Because, oh, they'd be there, oh, that must have really hurt that guy. And, oh, what if that person really got upset? And, oh, my goodness, what about that? You know, they would just, but the fact that I get into the whole room laughing hysterically, mm-hmm. it still freaks the peace people out.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going, and they see them all laughing, go, oh, okay, it's okay.
It's funny.
And then they see everybody laughing, oh, okay. And, you know, I yell at guys for masturbating, and you can see all the peace people, they're ready to swallow their tongue. And they see everybody laughing, it's okay. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're great people. But honestly, you want peace? You're never going to have peace if you can't have some conflict. We're not talking full-out war, but here's the irony. people who always are running from any kind of conflict end up with no peace in their relationships ever. You got to get comfortable with it. All right, we'll be back with more right after this.
Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
Need someone to free you from your sin there, Gunger.
We're back on the Mark Gunger Show talking about love, marriage, and relationships. We just did a thing with talking about people who are very peace-oriented. But they say, but Pastor, blessed are the peacekeepers. That's not what it says.
Makers.
It's peacemakers.
And you know, peacekeeping is very stressful. When you think that you have to do everything and not upset, it is extraordinarily stressful.
But peace people, when they hear Jesus say, blessed are the peacemakers, oh, that's me. I'm a peacekeeper.
No,
he didn't say blessed are the peacekeepers. He said blessed are the peacemakers. Mm-hmm. And a peacemaker is someone who makes peace. Mm-hmm. And the way you make peace is with some degree of confrontation. Mm-hmm. Again, it doesn't mean yelling, screaming, stabbing. And
sometimes.
Sometimes, maybe not the stabbing. But, you know, if that's what it requires, then so be it. Mm-hmm. But that's how you get to peace. You got to make the peace. Peacekeepers, these people who just want to do anything to keep the peace, the irony is they're the ones who never have any peace. Mm-hmm. You peace people out there, you're the ones that, oh, yeah, you know, I don't like arguing, and I don't like, you're always trying to keep the peace. What's your life like? You know what they're always like? They're just,
they do have ulcers, always, though. They don't have peace, but they have ulcers.
They got ulcers. They got nerves, you know, afraid, you know, they can't sleep at night. They're a disaster. Their marriages, relationships are all falling apart. And not just their marriages, all their relationships. They can't function in life because they're constantly chasing for peace. Look, it's great that you're a peace person. Seriously. In fact, most people, according to our studies, are in fact peace people. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest group of people. Most people listening to me right now come from that temperament. They want peace. But you need to be a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper. You need to enforce the peace. Mm-hmm. It's like a policeman. Policemen are peacemakers. Mm-hmm. They carry guns and tasers. You know, the Packer game. Did you hear this? At the Packer game, we were watching on news last night. You know, it's kind of one of the reports here in Green Bay. It's a really small town. There's 100,000 people in the city of Green Bay. The stadium holds 80,000. It's sold out.
Every game
from now for
years.
Eternity, you know. I mean, it's a 40-year waiting list for season tickets. I mean, it's just, it's wild. It's a great experience. If you've never been to a football game in Green Bay, you really ought to come, even if you're not a Packer fan. It is quite an experience. It's on a lot of people's sports bucket list to come to. And I saw rating recently. They rated it as the number one stadium.
I saw
the Bears are the worst stadium, they said.
So
and we all hate the Bears.
Okay.
So anyway. What was I talking about?
It's a story about the taser.
On the news, not only do they talk about who won and stuff like that, but then they'll give the report about how many people were arrested,
ejected.
Ejected, thrown out of the game. So many people were arrested, and so many people were ejected. Again, it's just a small little town.
I think it was 14 arrested, 35 ejected, and one man was tasered. That was at the game.
Which I think is hilarious. Oh, so those were the peacemakers at Lambeau Field, going around, grabbing people, throwing them out, arresting some, and tasering them.
A little conflict there.
Man, you, what kind of an idiot do you got to be?
I told you, the drunk idiot.
To get tasered.
Drunk.
At a football game. Yeah. I mean, he had to be belligerent, crazy, and the cops just put, and down he went. I'd like to have seen that. I think
it would have been
hilarious.
Funny,
oh, my goodness gracious.
It could have been a girl.
It could have been. Yeah, it could. Some of them.
Some
of them are really mean drunks.
Yes, they are.
My buddy, who's a police officer in Oklahoma, was up for the game, Green Bay, Dallas, last season. And there's some Dallas fans are really ornery in front of him, especially the girl. And so the security guard gets and carries him away, and it was just him by himself. And so my buddy, being the cop, he's like, I better follow this guy as well. And sure enough, all of a sudden she goes to like jump on the security guard for something, and he comes in and just forearm shivers her and takes her down and held her down until the cops got there.
Are you kidding me?
No. Oh my gosh.
People are crazy.
They are nuts. They're absolutely nuts.
Green Bay fans are the nicest fans in the
and league. People often say that visiting people.
Yeah, we're not as mean. Mm-hmm. Have you ever gone to an away game? I have. Oh my goodness.
Not the same.
Most people are mean. And ironically, the meanest ones were the women. They were mean to us.
Mean drunks. Oh, women screaming. Are.
They weren't even drunk. They were just mean. Oh my goodness. I thought, I need to go back to Green Bay where it's safe. You know, I see guys from other teams. Hey, welcome to Green Bay. Good to see you. You know, they're not used to that.
That's what the articles say about the Green Bay fans. Yeah. Anybody
let's face it, people. Green Bay Packers.
We should have more segments just on
the Green Bay
we should have a Packers segment every segment. So, anyway, these people who do these things are peacemakers, all right? When we send forces around the world, their point is to make the peace, all right? Enforce the peace. People who run from peace and just trying to keep peace, like much of the world did with Adolf Hitler when he came around 7 years ago. It ended in a disaster, and they're all trying to keep the peace with him. He said he won't do that, and then, let's not make a deal of this, and it just turned into a big disaster. So all you peace-loving people, God bless you, and I'm not asking to be like me or Crazy Diet. You got to be who you are, but you need to get comfortable with conflict and confrontation, because you won't get to what you want. You have to constantly remind yourself, this is how I get to peace. If your husband's yelling at you, you need to confront him. Or whatever your issues are. You got problems with them doing inappropriate things? Anyway, okay.
Can I ask you a question?
You may. That's what this show's all about.
Peacekeepers.
Yes.
Do you think that people who are high peacekeepers often tend to be the people pleaser kind of folk?
Absolutely. Absolutely. These are the ultimate. These tend to be some of the greatest enablers. Mm-hmm. Because for their desire for peace, they will let their spouse get away with murder. Some of them literally murder.
What, do you know a story like that?
Yeah, there's people like that, actually. Yeah, they really do. And they cover for them because they just want to get along. Yeah. These are the people who see things, don't say anything. They are just enablers because they desire peace. I promise people who are wired more like a control person or a confrontation person, like I am by nature, we don't enable at all. We're constantly confronting things, you know. We don't have a whole lot of peace friends.
Wonder why.
Anyway, it is what it is. You're not going to succeed in this thing called marriage or any relationship if you don't get comfortable. My wife's a peace lady, but she has no problem going to confrontation mode. Mm-hmm. But she knows. See, that's the thing. I think of peace people. That's the great thing about this program called the Flag Page.
Tim's peace.
Yeah, peace. Yeah, he's a great guy, you know. We hate him, but he's a great guy.
But he doesn't get too mad that you hate him.
Oh, no, he's a peace guy. Tim's like on morphine over there.
He is.
He's got an ultra super high.
There's just score. Like one level.
Yeah. Tim, does he ever get mad? Has anybody ever seen him?
No.
I've never seen him.
Do you ever get mad, Tim, ever?
Sure, of course.
What do you do?
And what happens?
I kill things.
He kills it. He goes hunting. And he kills it. He takes it out of poor innocent animals.
Sure, I get mad at sometimes. He says it just so calm. It's like, even you ask me, do I get mad? Yes, I get mad.
Yeah. So my wife, she's peace, but she has no problem going to war, but she understands it.
Yeah.
This is how we keep the peace. She is a peacemaker, and she will confront. She'll confront the family, the kids. I mean, when she gets mad, look out. It's just really, it's a little.
I have a hard time confronting at a low volume, at a peace level.
Really, I have no idea what you're talking about.
We were watching some TV show, and this chick is on the phone, and she's mad, but she's so calm. I was just thinking that last night watching the show. It's like, how do you just and just have it be so calm? Because when there's something to confront, it's like everything ratchets up for me. I have to work at that I can confront and just make the point, but do it in a very calm way. This actress woman on this show is going to be my role model. I'm going to try this.
Well, this is my challenge as well.
Because I
tend to blow people away, especially one-on-one.
Yeah.
Because what you see on stage, this real hurrah, that's all I know.
It's like, I know.
It's great when you're in a room of 1,000 people.
But it's like,
but when it's just you and me, it's a little intense.
How many times have I said, stop yelling at me? Stop yelling at me!
You know what? and there's no audience to laugh. See, and it gets a little. And of course, in a big audience, I can say, "You're a moron." Well, everybody laughs because you're talking about the guy next to me, yeah. right? But it's just you sitting there, and I go, "You're a moron." That's a little intense because he's talking about
hard
me.
To swallow.
So, like, it's fine. Everybody's who they are. Again, one of the great things about this test is not to criticize people to show you what's wrong with you, it's what's right about you. Mm-hmm. The more you understand yourself, see, that's the beauty of this. You take that test, the flag page. The more you understand yourself, the more successful you can be. There's things in my life that used to really rattle me, but now it doesn't because I understand myself more and I know my feelings and I'm able to keep things in a lot more check. And even peace people, if you start to really understand who you are, why you are, and there's lots of elements to this test that will give you a picture of who you are. You start to understand yourself better, you can start to succeed more with other people. Particularly if you can get them, you know, like your spouse or whatever, your kids to do the test as well. You just start, it's just knowledge. Knowledge is very, very helpful. But again, it's not about being a peace keeper. It's about being a peacemaker. You got to make it happen. All right, we'll take a break. Let's come back with your dating questions. I love dating questions right after this. Sorry.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
I see days and left us bronzed and breathless.
The romantic music of Michael O'Brien. Check it out at michaelo.org. Only can mean one thing. Dating questions.
Dating.
No one more delusional.
Than the daters.
All right, what do you got?
He says, I would just like to know your opinion on eloping in secret before getting married. So I asked, why would you want to do this? Mm-hmm. He says, we are both Bible school students. I'm in my third year. She's in her first year. Staying pure is a big priority for us. Her mm-hmm. parents would be against the idea of us getting married now, and we are struggling a bit as it is. Waiting another year would probably cause us to fall into sin, and we want to serve the Lord. So mm-hmm. I asked, so you want to secretly elope and be married so you can interact sexually, but then not tell anyone you're married. Is that correct? And he says, that is correct. Mm-hmm. And then we'll get married sometime next year for real and tell everybody. Mm-hmm. Not tell everybody, but do the whole wedding.
You know, I don't have a problem with that. I've actually encouraged people to do that. Now, who I yell at is not the people, young people who want to get married and are dinking around. It's the parents. The parents are the ones. Here you got godly young people who want to get married and do the right thing, and they're stupid parents. Mm-hmm. Have got this insane idea that marriage is the anti-force, that marriage will suck the life out of you. It's against education. It's against, I'm talking Christian marriages, Christian parents. Mm-hmm. They've got such a negative idea of marriage. To them, you have to get your college career and everything in order first before you can succeed. And it's nonsense. They think that marriage is the anti-force. It's not. Mm-hmm. In fact, all the studies show that married people do better in college than the single ones. Mm-hmm. There's no reason for it. And shame on your parents. But it's not your job to shame your parents. It's my job to shame your parents. Play this for them. But you morons. Quit telling your kids. And if the college-age kids are telling them they can't get married. Shame on you. No wonder they wind up fornicating. And here's the crazy thing. Their parents are probably more happy if they did fornicate. Mm-hmm. Christian parents. Dumb.
So that's okay if they go off and get married.
Who cares what God thinks? They're more concerned about the sexual, the second order. Anyway, it's not their job to insult their parents. It's my job to insult their parents. So I would highly recommend that. Absolutely. Just go get married.
Go get married. Justice of the peace or something. Make it legal.
Shack up. Here's the thing. A lot of the parents wouldn't care if they shacked up. Just do it right. Honor God. You've made a commitment to the woman. Marriage is a binding legal thing, something you do before God, you do it in your heart before God. I have no problem with doing it at the justice of the peace and getting it, elope, do the whole thing.
Don't tell anybody that.
Come
you
to
can,
Green Bay.
To
you
want
a pastor
want
to marry you? I'll marry you in secret. I want to charge $150. All right? And just get married and just do absolutely. Don't tell your goofy parents because they can't handle it. Shame on them.
I know people who have done that, actually.
And then all of a sudden, you're just, okay, Mom, Dad, we're getting married. You know, finally, after 5 years of college, we're finally getting married. Oh, good. And the whole time you've been married anyway. Mm-hmm. So if you got to play their stupid little game, play their stupid little game. But shame on you parents who are dumping on your kids like this. They literally create environments where the main reason so many Christian young people commit sexual sin is because their stupid parents are against mm-hmm. marriage. Unless they've gotten all the worldly stuff done first. And I think it's an outrage. And it's done nothing but help create immorality and create you know, porn addicts and stuff. We've created a disaster with these parents being so against marriage until after they have their career and all the college stuff. And I just think it's patently absurd. And shame on the whole lot of you that think that way. All right.
Mm-hmm. Ready?
What else you got?
It's from
I feel my blood pressure.
Yes.
A few things get me more angry.
I know
than
it makes you very mad.
So I think it's a great answer. Go get married. Come up here. I'll marry you. And someday when your parents are later, say, oh, by the way, we got married way back in college.
But that's what somebody that I know did, and I did not know that they had done that until after the wedding was done, and it was, you know, like a couple years into their marriage, and then somebody said, you know that they got married, you know, they eloped prior to that, and then, you know, waited. I'm like, really?
Absolutely. Do the right thing.
And that's what they had done. And the funny thing is,
it's a shame that they have to do that.
Christians.
It's a shame they have to do that.
But they were not even practicing Christians. They're just getting still
because in the secular world, in the secular world, they're against it.
Yes.
I don't care what the secular world does. My beef is with the Christian world.
Yep.
The Christian world acts like secular world, and even in that case, they're secular people, and they knew their parents were against it, so they went and did it anyway. Yep. Absolutely, elope away.
Yep. Elope away.
Okay, what do you
sounds mean? Like antelope.
Antelope.
Antelope away.
Get on an antelope away.
Okay, this is a mom writing. She says, my daughter, who is 31, single, and never been married, wants a Christian husband, has been coming to church with us now for the past few months. There's a guy that is around her age who is also single and is in one of the ministries at church, and he appears to be interested in her, but does not seem to be able to talk to her. They have met and talked
well, then how do you know they're interested?
Listen. They have met and talked on one occasion, but he seems to be extremely shy. We recently went to the Laugh Your Way marriage seminar at our church, and she came with us. She's been watching your Clear Path to Marriage, you know, the singles and stinking thinking. Would it be too forward for her to ask him to go get coffee? This has been months of them smiling at each other. Please give us some advice on what to do in this situation.
All right, listen to me. All this nonsense that we tell Christian girls that they shouldn't initiate anything, they should guard their hearts, oh, just don't look at these boys, let them chase them, is a bunch of nonsense. And it's so unbiblical. 93, 95, whatever, what was the percentage of all marriage relationships were initiated by the women in the first place anyway. And then if people say, no, I want a marriage like Ruth and Boaz. Have you read Ruth and Boaz? The entire thing was initiated by the women. Mm-hmm. The entire story. Mm-hmm. Go read what the Bible talks about. And see that those women were the ones who orchestrated. If it had been up to Boaz, he'd still be single. Mm-hmm. In the grave. So absolutely,
walking around in his field. Because y'all are clueless.
Hi, what's your name? Oh, Ruth. He never got it.
No.
It wasn't until Naomi orchestrated the whole thing and finally got his attention, and that's how they wound up together. It is completely biblical and appropriate. Anybody tells you it's not biblical doesn't know what they're talking about. You girls have, there's absolutely no problem with you. And again, almost every one of these things are started by the woman who knows. The really talented ones, they kind of hook them in and then they play keep away. Mm-hmm. Then they make them chase them. But they start it.
Mm-hmm.
Go out and start it. I applaud you. Entirely. All right, we'll be back with our final segment right after this.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
We're back on the Mark Gunger Show talking about love, marriage, and relationships, answering a dating question.
Did Phil have something to add?
He said, yes.
Sorry, I was half paying attention.
He tries to sleep during the show.
Well, no,
caught him napping.
I was doing work where actually you're going to broadcast your marriage thing in the Netherlands, which is pretty cool.
Anyway, what broadcast? What thing?
Show? They want to broadcast the. I don't
seminar.
Know. No, not this show.
Oh.
That'd be so hard to translate all of this.
I don't know. I think it'd be great.
We translated the Left Radio Better Marriage thing. We have a distributor over there, and there's a
they're gonna
network
broadcast
that
it.
Wants to broadcast cool. it and then promote it and stuff.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So you go over to the Netherlands.
The Netherlands.
You probably have some Dutch word for you. It's pretty cool.
Well, I can think of a Dutch word for him.
No, but you're talking about the girl going up to the guy. Now, while I did make the first move on my wife, I went and hit on her. She technically asked me out on the first date because she responded and asked, do you want to go to the ballet and stuff? And so in her
mind. Which is the first thing he'd love to do is go to a ballet.
Go to ballet.
Well, I was a ballerina.
Mm-hmm. At one point. Hey,
so she thought, oh my goodness, he wants to go to a ballet.
You were a ballerina?
Mm-hmm. Maybe that wasn't the technical term.
Whoops. Phil's disclosing things. He's coming out now. Careful.
My son was a ballerina.
I was a ballerine bro.
A ballerine bro. What do they call guys that dance?
A ballet dancer.
There's ballet dancers? They don't call them ballerinas, so. I don't think.
No, a ballerina. A ballet dancer.
So, yeah, so then his wife asked.
Men in tights.
She did. She asked if I'd want to go out. And because in her mind, she thinks, oh, that wasn't a date.
Because that's a killer suit you got on. I like that suit with the tie. Good. He's looking sharp.
You bought it for me.
Did I?
Mm-hmm.
Can we stop talking about Phil's clothing and I can add something to the conversation?
I want to buy everybody's clothes around here. Yes.
Okay. It's okay for the woman to pursue. I will wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah.
But then some of these ladies need to understand if you are the pursuer, you might be pursuing a guy who never is going to be. And then you can't sit around and cry and say, would I want him to pursue me? Because they might not be. Did you follow that?
Right.
Yeah.
I showed interest in my wife, and so
because some of them have this weird,
awkward,
you know,
but yeah, they chase after these guys.
He needs to pursue me. He needs to be the, you know, the leader of this relationship, and that didn't start off that way, honey. So why do you think that it is going to be that way?
Well, because
people are crazy.
I'm telling, there's no more delusional line of thinking in the world that when it comes to relationships, I'll always have a job.
Mm-hmm. Job security, like, baby.
But who feeds all this stuff? Where does this come from?
Oh my gosh, are
There's
you kidding
Christian
me?
Teachers who feed this nonsense.
That's exactly
I've
what
I've read
they
stuff
do.
From Christian Bible colleges.
He
that
has
teach
to be
them
the pursuer.
All this nonsense. I think, and that's why we have so many single Christian women in the church.
And miserable Christian married women.
Because they I'm telling you, this. There's so much bad teaching on this stuff, I can't take it. Oh my God. And then you oppose this teaching and you watch how upset people get. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's unbiblical, number one. Mm-hmm. It's not practical wisdom at all, number mm-hmm. two. Number three, it just doesn't work. But they hang on to it.
That's the craziest thing. None of it works. But they hold on to it.
Oh, like, with a passion.
Yep.
I'm 48, 59, 63, still single, but God's going to do it.
Really?
All right, we'll be back on our next show. Thanks for listening.
Bye, bye.
Have fun storming the castle.